comes to God must believe that he is God. God Almighty, the God that created the heavens and the earth. But how can we know that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, as we talked about in our Bible class this morning? We weren't present when the creation process took place. We have the assurance of God in his word, and we choose whether or not to trust in his word. In Hebrews 11 and verse 3, by faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. God spoke our world into existence by the word of God, is how the world was prepared. And he did it not out of things that were could be seen, but rather, as he said, out of things which were basically invisible, as he stated in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. How can we really know that Jesus came to earth in the flesh? We didn't see him. We didn't touch him. We didn't hear him speak. But we have the inspired writings of men who did witness the Son of God in the flesh. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. Certainly he's talking about Jesus there. We have the assurance of God. We have the assurance of his Son, that he left the glories of heaven to come to this earth, to live for us, to die for us, to take our sins upon himself. How can we know that when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, that our sins will be forgiven? We should be able to see the evidences of forgiveness, but can we really observe the actual forgiveness of sins? Again, God gives us assurance that if we respond to him in obedient faith, every sin that we have ever committed will be forgiven, and it will be forgotten by God. Listen to the words which Ananias spoke to Saul. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. So certainly we can know from the scripture statement there and other places that our sins are forgiven when we're baptized into Jesus Christ. But it is a knowledge that is based upon faith. Well, how do we know that the blood of Jesus Christ will continually cleanse us from our sins once we are Christians? We have the assurance of God that we will continually be cleansed by the blood of Jesus as long as we walk in the light. 1 John 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The word cleanses there is a word that means continually cleanses us from all sin. So as long as we are in Christ, we certainly have the forgiveness of sins. We are to turn to him. We are to repent of our sins as we commit them, acknowledge our sins, and God will forgive them. We can know that we are saved. Listen to the promise to the assurance that God gives to his children. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Notice in the verse 11, it says, God has given us eternal life. While in reality, as we read Scripture, we know that eternal life is certainly something that we look forward to, but it is something that we also can presently enjoy. He has given eternal life to us. Whenever we become Christians, whenever we're baptized into Christ, we begin eternal life. And certainly that life is extended beyond our death into all eternity. He says this life is in his Son. So if we have the Son, we have the life. If we don't have the Son, we do not have the life. And he says, I'm writing these things so that you may know. You can be certain that your salvation is for real. We don't have to question whether we're saved or whether we're going to heaven. We have the assurances of our God who cannot lie. But aren't there some people who think they're saved who really aren't? Yes, there are many people, I think, who have been deceived by their feelings or by false teachings that they are in a right relationship with God. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. It is interesting that that quote is from the New American Standard Version. And most versions will translate that differently, and you see the prejudice that they have toward one who believes only. Usually it would say, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who disbelieves the Son shall not see life. Yet the New American Standard translates that as obey. I was looking at the Christian Standard Bible, which is a relatively new translation that's come out, and it uses a similar statement from the New American Standard. I think that this word that is translated obey here is a word that is often translated obey in other places. And yet when it comes to this particular verse, most translations choose to translate it as disbelieve. The word really is obey. So if we believe in the Son, we have eternal life. And that belief obviously means a belief that is an obedient belief, a submissive, responsive belief. But he who does not obey the Son shall not see life. When we've done what God said to do in order to be saved, when we are walking with Jesus as best we can, even though we make mistakes, we shouldn't live with fears and doubts about our salvation. There was one person who wrote this, and I thought it might be worthy of me reading it here this morning. When you get to heaven, you will likely view many folks whose presence there will be quite a shock to you. But keep very quiet. Do not even stare. Doubtless there'll be many folks surprised to see you there. And that may be true. John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth, and will assure our heart before him. In whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. I believe that passage is telling us that even though there may be some doubts in our own minds, in our own hearts about whether or not we're in the right relationship with God, that God is greater than these thoughts, that God is greater than our hearts. And even though we have some doubts, which we really shouldn't, God has no doubts about our salvation. And then he talks about in verse 21, if our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence before God. I don't think that we should go around bragging, hey, I'm saved, or I'm saved because of all my good works, because that's not true. But I think that when people ask us whether we're saved, we can say we're in a right relationship with God. We are saved because of what God has done through us through Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with what I'm doing. It is what Christ has done. And I think if we answer people in that way or something similar to that, there will be some people who will ask us questions. And then we can engage in further conversation with them about our relationship with God. So God is greater than our heart. He is greater than our conscience. We can have confidence before God when we place our complete trust in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. We must be careful not to confuse a false humility with a lack of trust in the promises and the assurances of God. I was pretty sure that whoever led singing this morning would lead Blessed Assurance, and I'm glad that Dayton did that. But I want to go over the words with you again. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Isn't that what it's all about? Praising God, thanking God for what He has done for us through Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that you have that relationship with God this morning. I hope and pray that you feel blessed in that assurance that God has given to you that you're a child of God. But if you're not a child of God, you can become one this very day. If you want to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, we can do that for you today. If you want to be in a right relationship with your brothers and sisters, if you strayed away from the truth, we can pray for you, help you, encourage you today. If there's anyone who needs to respond to God's invitation, We hope you'll do so now while we stand and sing.